Blog Talk Radio.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
Hey. Okay, okay. Testing 1, 2, 3. Is this thing on?
Feeling
hey.
So deep in my feelings. Lord, this pain is inside me. Can't control my anxiety.
Hey, Trish, you hear me living off my little go-go band fantasy, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Like I'm, you can just call me Lil Chuck, Funk Jr., James Brown Jr., all that, you know. I'm wearing all that tonight. Well, how you doing, Trish? What's up, girl?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. I'm doing wonderful. I'm blessed. I'm good.
That's what's up. How's your Thursday going?
It's going wonderful. It really is. We buried our same aunt, and it was a nice service. And we came on home and ate and doing the show now. So I've been blessed.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So you get the double dip today. You spending time with both your families, all your family today.
Yep.
Hey man, God,
yep.
Ain't God awesome, man.
Yes,
hey, we like to welcome everyone to another Thursday episode of Kale's Corner with Miss T. Hey. Holding
hey.
It down, doing it like she do, like no one else can do. All right, today we're going to get into the NBA, man. I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it before we actually... discussing the NBA, but yeah, the race is heating up for positioning in the playoffs. So you know,
yeah.
we're gonna see, you know, who's favored to finish first in each division, and you know, the trade deadline has come and go, you know. We're going to talk about who really helped themselves, judging by what we know now and what we see now, who has really helped themselves, you know. Then we're going to talk about these lawsuits filed against Watson, man. I mean, it's this thing getting ugly, y'all. You know, the amount of people that are coming out and accusing this young man of wrongdoings, and the amount of young women, I should say, coming out and accusing this young man of wrongdoing, you know, I've never seen anything like this before, you know. I I've been asked. Well, we're going to go into that. I don't want to go into the topic before we actually talk about it. MLB, hey. Baseball is back,
yeah.
Y'all. Baseball is back. And, you know, they're celebrating Jackie Robinson's Day. And, you know, for those that didn't know, Robinson played 10 seasons with the Brooklyn Dodgers. So we give a hat off, a handshake, and a nod to Jackie Robinson for all he did, and the people, not just Jackie Robinson, because we all know he had a part to play, you know, one of the most important parts, but to the people who at least allowed him to step in and make a difference, be the difference. We say thank you. NHL, the Caps, hey, they're leading the division now. It's not by much. It's only 2 games, but they are leading the East. So, you know, hats off to them guys, because I mean they really stepped up and are in a good position. We're going to talk about the Brooklyn Nets with Aldridge, you know, who has announced that he's going to go ahead and call it quits, retire. He felt a little murmur in his heartbeat, so he's going to go ahead and call it quits. And I can't blame him. You know, I'm not blaming him at all. I'm not faulting him. I'm not down on him at all for doing this, because your health comes first. Your health comes first. I don't care what sport you're playing. I don't care what you're doing. You can't do it without your health. So we're going to send a shout out, a prayer out to DeMarc Aldridge. Say his first name, Therese. DeMarcus Aldridge. Is that his name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there we go. So, those are the topics that we're going to go over here on Chaos Quarter. Y'all forgive me. I'm getting myself together. And we're going to take a quick one. 563-999-3782. 563-999-3782. Hey, we'll be right back, y'all. Hey, mm-hmm. Rather be with you.
Yeah.
I'd rather be with y'all. So I'm going to end that song for now. And
okay.
We're going to go ahead and get into this NBA, man. Brooklyn and Philly involved themselves in a great matchup yesterday. Now, Philly ended up taking it. And I believe that's because Brooklyn wasn't all their players weren't available, mainly Kevin Durant. So congratulations to Philly. They ended up taking it last night. And you know, I was talking to you last night, Tree, when I said this,
yeah,
that I was going to I'm going to start rooting for Philly now because Sam Cassell is a part of their bench.
Yeah.
Did I say that? I said that, you know, I talk too much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
you
because
out loud.
Out loud, right. But you know what? I can take it back, number one, because it was just you and me, number one. And number two, I didn't know the Wizards were doing as good as they are right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 18 games left. The Wizards are getting healthy. They're coming around, and these guys are really playing a good little brand of basketball here now, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they better come on with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the truth. They are in because they have I don't want to say wet the bed, but for lack of better term, wet the bed all season long thus far. They have to they got a lot of work to do. They have a lot of work to do and not a lot of time to do it in. But, you know, I have to say, you know, I watched them last night against who did they play last night?
Sacramento.
The Kings, Sacramento. Right. And, I mean, them boys, they I didn't like the turnovers. I'm going to say that they had like 25 turnovers for like 38 points, you know, and I didn't like that. And I saw guys coming down up and, you know, back and forth, up and down court, and they were lackadaisical, to say the least. There were no sense of urgency, no real concern, you know, on what they were doing, which is why we saw, I mean, Bradley Beal, I appreciate everything he is as a scorer, but when it comes to handling that ball and facilitating, Bradley Beal is the worst. He is the worst, you know. We're going to go to my brother from another mother, Theodore. What's up, Ted? How you be, baby?
Hey, good evening, everyone. How y'all doing? Hey, what's going on, Lady
okay. T? Ain't nothing. How you feel?
I'm good. Blessed.
Good.
Thank y'all.
That's what's up. But, Ted, as I know you heard me just now. With Bradley Beal and I don't see as many turnovers with Westbrook as I do with Beal, but at the same time, there are turnovers with Westbrook as well. You know what I'm saying? And it's like we were so focused and so keyed in on the lack of defense that ball handling is looking like it's a problem as well. When you give up 25 turnovers for over 30 points, I mean, that's a problem.
I totally agree. You know, as far as y'all definitely do need a true point guard, because Russell Westbrook and them, they're like hybrid. They're not really a point guard. They're more of a shooting guard, him and Bradley Beal. They can handle the ball, you know, a couple of dribbles to get into their shot and what have you. And if they, you know, in a half-court setting, you know, they can get, you know, to where they want to go to the rim. But like you said, as far as really bringing the ball up when the pressure is on, it's tough. You know, it's tough for them.
Yeah.
And they need, like you say, they are lacking a true point guard, man, and they don't have the skills whereas they not able to turn over to have these turnovers and stuff. They need a better grip on their handles. So you are definitely correct on that. You know, so I think solution is a point guard. Isaiah Thomas.
I'm with you 100 on that, but even when Ish Smith comes in, and we know Ish Smith is nothing but a true point guard. We know this from his game and watching him. But even when he comes in, it's like it's a bunch of unnecessary turnovers, man. It drove me crazy last night watching them. It drove me crazy. And I remember during last night's game, five separate possessions, the Wizards came down the court and turned the ball over five different times, man. Wow. And I'm like, good God almighty. I mean, you guys, the way the Wizards were shooting and playing last night, they should have been up by 20, 30 points. But because they kept allowing Sacramento back in the game with turnovers. Turnover here, turnover there. And like I said, they brought in Neto, had let him run the point, turnovers. They brought in Ish Smith, allowed him to run the point, turnovers. Even Westbrook, the veteran leader that he is, it seemed as if they just weren't paying full concentration on exactly what they were doing out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't watch the game and stuff. I didn't watch the winning game, but I've seen, you know, as far as looking at other teams, you know, like you say, a lackadaisical, you know, like I was telling, like we talked about before, how teams, they just stand in the corner, either just stand there, and if a person is trapped, they don't move to give them a passing lane. You know, all it takes is two steps or a step to get that person a passing lane that he can get it to. Obviously, he can't get it to you to where you're standing at, you know, because he's double teaming or what have you. Take another step and go towards the ball to give him a passing lane. But they don't do that. They just look. And then when the person tried to pass out that double team, they got them hands all up over them, and they making guys, they making a short pass or whatever, and guys are making a steal. And it's a turnover, like you said. So it's crazy. Like you say, I just get mad at this. Let's play basketball, you know. Somebody trap, come to the ball. Don't just stand there and look. You waiting on this ball.
Move the ball. That's why they be saying move. Like, move the ball. If you move the ball, you will draw somebody off or you will catch somebody out of plate, you know.
Thank you.
And then that's an easy score. So you're right. Just keep moving.
It's harder to defend a moving target. It's harder to play defense on a player who's moving around. Let's take this call. 301, what's happening, man? 301-385, that's you.
They probably don't want to talk. I know who that
is. Okay, all right. Okay, all right.
She just want to support.
Okay, well, thank you for your support. Let's go to my man, Lou. What's up, Lou?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Lou.
I'm great.
Yeah.
Did you hear the first lady say hello to you?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Okay. Did you tell her hello? if we're in America, and normally in America, when someone says hello, everybody says hello back. As they should. Yes. But go ahead.
So I'm not happy about the decision that LaMarcus Aldridge had made. I mean, I get it, but just soon after coming to the Nets, and then this happens. I mean, what does that say about
come
our
on, Lou.
Out, you know, what does it say
come
about
on,
our chances winning the division?
You got
to
think about this man's health. You got to think about this man's health. You got to think about his health. His health come first, man. I don't want to see him.
Well, didn't he know about that before he came to the Nets?
Well, no. He did say that he experienced an uncomfortable feeling in the past, but nothing as severe or serious as this one was. So, you know, listen. As a person with health issues himself, you know, I applaud him. I applaud him for being able to put it down, walk away, and be happy with what he has accomplished. I don't want to see the man, you know, pass out on the court trying to.
No,
of course not. It's like the old men on the subway, you know, they kill me. They kill me wearing tight jeans and having their high parts hanging out and, you know, swearing they young, wearing the, you know, hey, listen, man, when your time has passed you, it has passed you. Just go on and move on and allow the people whose turn it is to live that life, live that life. You know what I mean? It bothers me when I see older men and older gentlemen and women, you know, still trying to live that 20, early 30s lifestyle, and it has passed you. You're done. You're done. Let it go. Let it go. And Aldridge understood that, understands that, you know, there's another quality of life that this thing can affect seriously. So let me go ahead now and you know, make the necessary changes, adapt to, you know, this new lifestyle of mine now while I'm still young and can, you know, I've made buku money, so I can afford medical attention, you know. This we have to, I applaud Aldridge. I applaud him because I'm pretty sure it was hard as hell for him to walk away. I'm pretty sure that it was one of the hardest decisions he's probably had to make all his life. But he made it as a man. He made it as a man, and he's moved on. So kudos. I give him.
Knowing when to say when is good, because some people don't know when to say when, and then they body all messed up, and then they don't have no quality of life. When they get older, they get in wheelchairs and all kind of crazy foolishness. So yeah, I taught them too: know your body and know when to say when, and hang it up.
Mm-hmm.
Some don't.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, we have to, you know, commend him, because so many times we've seen athletes, you know, continue because they just can't say goodbye, don't want to say goodbye, you know.
I can't be one of those people.
Great case is in point. And we all remember Brett Favre. We all remember when Brett Favre didn't want to let it go, and he went to Minnesota, and he we all said, you know, why don't Brett just go ahead and retire, man? Why don't Brett just go ahead and hang it up?
Well, I go back. I look at Hank Gathers. You know, he, like you say, fell out on the court doing what he loved, you know, and he had a heart attack. So Aldridge, like you say, he had issues before, you know, and the heart is something serious to take, you know. Like you say, Kel, being a person of having medical issues, I've had a regular heartbeat and stuff and issues and all that stuff, like you say, and the thing it puts on your body running up and down that court, the demands that is on him, you know, he had to look at that, you know. And I thought about that when it ran across the screen. I'm like, wow, he's so close. How did he go out like that? You know, man, why you want to give up this? You right there with them boys, and you for to get this championship. But I thought about that. I'm like, wow. But, man, like you said, you got a decision, a heavy decision to make as a man to where, hey, whether you want to chase this man or, you know, or live, you know, you know, take your life and live and be there for your family, you know. It's greater things than basketball, you know. Your family and life, you know, is greater than basketball. He made his money already and stuff. He's done. He's achieved his goal. The only thing he didn't achieve is winning that championship. Now, with him, I can say that he can say what Kevin Durant has said, you know, in a sense, you know, but what Kevin Durant said was kind of crazy. And I miss what you said about that, but that was ludicrous. That's what you play for is championship.
Ludicrous.
You know, that was, you know, so, but he has a chance to get a championship, but his health is in danger, you know, his life, his health.
And
so he made that decision. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And excuse me, not to cut you off, Jay, but I just wanted to get this point out there. And I believe that if the Nets win, they're still going to honor him as a member of that team. Now, I know it's not the same as playing and going through battle, going to battle with your Warriors or with your team, but they still can honor him as a member of that team if they move further in advance to win the championship. So, you know, it's not like he doesn't have a chance to still gain, you know, gain a ring.
I totally agree, and I thought about that also, and I wish they would if they, you know, if they were to win it, you know, and I wish they would do that, you know, but in his heart, I know he would think it would be the same, but that would be a great gesture, you know, but hey, but he said totally, he made the right decision, you know, I totally agree on his decision, and you know, I just wish he had that chance, but you know, he had to think about his family, you know, being there for them. So, but I like to say, I wish they do give him that, you know, ring if they do get it. So.
Yeah, me too. Me too. That'll be a great gesture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it ain't like he going out because he just going out. He's going out because of health reasons. You know?
Yeah.
So if they do make it, I think they should just, you know, give him one of those honorable, like an honorable one.
Yes.
Right. Make him just sign him up for that day as a member of the team on the contract.
Yeah.
And give him the proper respect. Just give him the proper respect that it deserves. So, you know, hey man. And now speaking of the Nets, I'm glad we brought them up. I watched that game between Philly and the Nets, and I'm here to tell you, Philly won the game, but the Nets showed me something last night. Those young guys on that bench, they believe in themselves, man. They believe in themselves wholeheartedly, and they brought all they could to Philly. Now Philly held on and won the game, but it the game within the game was all Nets all night. It was all Nets all night. I'm talking rebound. I'm talking hustle plays for loose balls. I'm talking scoring, defense, all of that. The net put a check beside all of that, you know, on last night. So, people are saying, you know, they are 1-2 in the East, and Philly is going to be the next competition. But I'm looking at it this way, man. I don't see the Nets holding on against Philly once it all boils down, man. I really don't. I don't see Philly, I don't see Philly holding on against the Nets when this thing really goes down. Even without Aldridge,
okay.
Because Aldridge didn't play last night, and matter of fact, Kyrie or KD. And yo, what was up with Philly's fans screaming KD sucks during those free throws? KD wasn't even in the game. KD wasn't even in the game, man. And they just looked stupid. And they show a picture of KD, and KD is, like, shrugging his shoulders, like, what the hell is wrong with them? You know? It's Philly, you know? But the commentators said something that made hell of a sense when he said, we're talking about Philly. And for them to come up with and say your name, it's sort of a compliment. You have arrived when Philly fans scream your name and you aren't even in the game. So, you know, that part made sense to me, but it was like, really, for real, Philly, this is what you guys are going to do? This is how you guys will occur? You're going to yell KD stuff? Come on, man. And your team is winning.
Can I ask this question? I thought I heard them say MB sucks, and I was confused. At first y'all was saying MVP. Y'all was saying MVP, and then later in the game, when the Nets was coming back making a hustle, I thought at that point they were saying MB sucks. You know, I missed them saying Kevin Durant. I didn't clearly hear that, so I'm confused. You know, did they do that two times? You know, did they say Kevin Durant and also did they say
they
MB
said KD?
Also? Okay,
they repeatedly yelled KD sucks, KD sucks, and I can see where it would sound as if they were saying MB. But no, they were saying KD.
Okay. They were saying KD.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Got you. Okay. 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 Well, yeah, like you said, that is Philly fans. But to your point, like you say, man, the Nets made that comeback. Them young kids, them boys with that heart, man. And Philly, you know, Ben Simmons made the comment talking about, hey, you know, we ain't really worried about the Nets and this and that and this. I want to be defensive player and blah, they skip it. And so he was made all that comment. So, you know, he better watch himself when they the whole mob come back, you know, even without I don't know why Blake Griffin sat out. You need to get yourself cohesive with the team. You ain't played much in Detroit, so you haven't dunked much. I guess you've been dunking so much when you came back. When you start playing with the Nets, you want to get a break now. But you need to start playing more. You should have played in this game last night unless you kind of got a little injury or so. You know, I could dig that. But as far as for rest, get on out there, boy. And for him, you know, Blake Griffin. But, man, they got a nice little bench, and they got boys that got heart. They were taking it to them, and they were dunking on them, taking it to them, standing up to them, like, hey, we ain't afraid. We ain't got our dudes, but we here. We going to represent for them. And, man, you got – and that sparked – Hard, that sparked KD and Kyrie and them. They're going to say, man, look at our young boys. You know, look at our bitch. So when we come back for that playoff run, man, you better watch out. You know? You better watch out. You better watch out because they got two persons that's unstoppable. They got three, really, people that's unstoppable offensively, man. That three-headed
monster.
Man,
I'll tell you. It reminds me when I was younger, man. I could fight and handle mine and take care of myself all the time. But when I had an audience, when I had somebody that I knew had my back, oh, man.
Oh, yeah. It was 10 times worse.
What? That's when Kale showed up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Kale was there then, you know? So, yeah. If those young boys didn't do anything last night, they showed the rest of their team that they had their back, that they were going. They could
get a rotation.
Exactly, that they could be counted on and depended upon. So, hey man, you know, I them Nets showed me something last night, man. And Aldridge, again, yes, you know, Aldridge making the decision to retire is something, you know, serious and it's commendable. It's very commendable. But I'm telling you, from what I saw last night, I'm really asking myself and scratching my head trying to decide who is actually going to bring it to the Nets like that. Everyone is saying it'll be the Lakers, you know, because it's been a while since we've seen all of those guys play together and you know, form their team as they are. We're kind of second guessing them or they have gone to the wayside in our minds. But, you know, everybody is saying don't sleep on the Lakers. But I'm seriously, I draw a blank.
Yeah.
You almost what, T?
I'm almost leaving on them.
I mean, it's hard not to be. It's hard not to be, you know. And they're not really losing game, you know, per se. They don't look bad, but it's been so long since we've seen them play. You know, it's like, come on, man. You know, what are you guys going to do? You know?
I just hope that Steve Nash don't blow it, you know, because although Kyrie, you know, at the beginning of the time, they don't need a coach. They do need – you need a good coach. Although with all that talent, you still need a coach when it comes down to crunch time to know when to call that timeout, you know,
right,
to know when to make the proper substitution. Because a star is not – if he's not going, he's shooting, not going, he's not going to take himself out. So that coach needs to know when to pull that Kyrie out and say, hey, I need to put Brown in or put this other kid in or what have you to get you to come on down on this bench for a minute to get a rest or see when somebody tired and not giving that effort on defense, pull him out. Talk to him on that bench.
Right.
Hey, man, I need you to give me more effort. You know, so I hope he does that. But I don't think he has that and that respect really like that from them to be able to do that as a Doc Rivers does, you know, as Eric Spoelstra, you know, Miami's coach, you know, as he would, you know, the pedigree he has.
So you don't think Steve Nash got the You don't think Steve Nash got the
No, I don't. Because he's never been that type of player. That's not his personality. You know, he's a heck of a player. He's a heck of a player, a heck of a leader. You know, but as far as like I say to the mob he has, the personalities that he has on that team, those three stars, you have to have a really different type of coach than him, I think. You know, I mean, not saying nothing that he's a bad coach, but when it comes down to crunch,
you know, Ted, I think you explained it kind of right because he's one of those level-headed, you know, coaches that I think they do respect him because of that. He's not loud. He's not, you know, hollering. He's not one of those in-your-face type coaches. He just, you know, he's just there. He looked like your friend next door.
He's a docile, passive personality.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're coming, let's just keep it real. When you're coming at dudes from the hood, you have to approach them in that docile, questioning or demonstrative. You know, you have to come at them in a docile nature, you know, in order for them, because if you come aggressive, they gonna come right back at you aggressive, you know. We can see that with Kyrie. We can see that with KD, and we can see that with Harden, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
You come at these guys in a docile manner, you'll be able to get your point across. So I think that Nash is the exact perfect coach for them.
Yeah, me too.
Because I who else could want to be as docile as Nash is? really.
But see, Nash, he is that person. But y'all forget, you know, Nash was, you know, he was a little ignorant out on when he was a player. Like, he would get, you know, downright aggressive, like really, really aggressive.
Yeah,
so he got
but
it in him.
He was never.
He got it in him, but
he
that's
was,
just not who he is as a, you know, a grown coach. That's just not who he is.
He,
don't bring
he was
that.
Never. He was never a Charles Barkley. He was never Isaiah Thomas.
No.
He was never anything like those guys. So therefore, you say what?
I wasn't that big on Barkley.
You wasn't that big. I loved Barkley.
No,
I loved Barkley. Barkley was a rebounding animal.
I agree with my man. You know, Barkley, I got mixed emotion with Barkley, man, because Barkley had that potential, man, because you look at it, man. When Barkley came to the Sixers, man, they just had came off a championship team. Okay, they just had come off a championship. Okay, they had old players. So Barkley now was supposed to be that young fit, now supposed to become, and he was, man, he was a terror. But he just had Charles was a knucklehead, man. Okay, so I don't know what happened with Philadelphia. If he wanted to be the star, well, it was coming to you, but it was still Doc's team, you know. So get that old Doc's respect and do your role, and then let the torch be passed to you, you know.
Right.
I don't know what happened. He left Philadelphia, but he didn't make them better, man. He didn't make Philadelphia better, you know. He was. Got into all kinds of stuff, throwing people through windows, spitting on people and stuff. He was a knucklehead back then, man. You know. So then he goes to Houston, you know, or Phoenix, and didn't win a championship.
He was for basketball.
You know, he's a hell of a player. He was a rebounder. Charles was something different, man. Charles was tough, but he just could not put it together, man. And like I said, I don't know what it was, because when he got to Houston, they had a mob. Okay, they still had a King there. They had Scotty there. They had Drexler there.
But they was old, though. They was old, man.
Yeah,
they was old. They was
old,
though.
They was old, but he was supposed to come there also, and they was supposed to be able to do because they had still. But see, when the papers they was going with was still also old, too, you know. And
yeah,
that,
he was
and
too
that
late
era.
By then.
He was chasing them rings by then.
That's what I'm saying.
Look at his career. So look what he had to do. So that's what I'm saying. I agree with my man talking about he wasn't really big on Charles. I'm mixed emotion. I love Charles, you know, and this and that. But if you really look at his career and look at, you know, what he produced and what he's done, did he make any teams really better, you know?
Right.
The only team he really had really much success with is with Phoenix, you know. So,
now, I got one better for you, Ted. I got one better for you. The only team he really made better was that TNT Sportscast, that team he was right there to analyze.
Oh, man, hey, that's a good one. You're right.
I got your back,
Ted. Indeed. Yeah, I was just saying his best
that's
years.
That's a good one right
there. Indeed.
Yeah,
totally.
Y'all
wrong.
Right there. There.
On point.
Can you
hold
for that?
If he up there eating donuts, falling asleep, he made them real better.
Indeed.
Can you hold for that, man?
I just see the new commercial he on today. He got a new commercial, man.
Oh, yeah.
In a department store, trying to tell people how to do golf, man. Yeah, I'm like, man, you're getting like Shaq, getting that money.
Hey. By any means necessary, Ted. By any means necessary, you're gonna get that bread. You hear me?
I ain't mad at him.
Hey, as long as they out there and they gonna
hey,
give it
right.
to you, take it.
I'm taking
take
it. As long as it's legal, I'm taking it.
Yeah. You know,
but he has turned his personality around. You know, he's like you said, big old teddy bear. You know, you can't help but love. You know, but as far as his career,
and he's
you know,
so
he
honest
really,
though. He's so honest even when it comes to himself. When he messes up,
exactly.
He's so honest with
that's
it. But like, you know, what I'm saying you got to respect him because he's so honest with it. You know,
that's
even
true.
When he got caught in the car and you know all that, He ain't trying to play it off. He ain't do none of that. He just copped to it, say I'm sorry, and moved on.
That's true.
When he threw that Bama through the window.
Yeah, all that. Everything.
Right.
He copped to everything.
He was a knucklehead back then, but like you say, he's come around.
Yeah,
people come around. You know, they can see the light. You know, and like you
yep.
say, you know, you
and make a change. And he did
exactly. You know, and he's done that. So I commend him on that. You know, but
yep.
like you said, as far
That's
as
right.
basketball thing, he's taking it well, man. The fact that because Shaq and Kenny be giving it to him as far as him not having no rings. You know,
man, he don't care.
He had to come to that point, you know. But I was
yep.
slapped. I was slapped, Kenny. I was slapped, Kenny.
Oh man.
All right.
We're gonna take a quick one. 563-999-3782 is the number. 563-999-3782 is the number. I want you all to, I'm going to ask this question and now before we go to break, and I want you all to think about this before you give your answer. Luka Doncic with the Dallas Mavericks. Is this guy lucky or is he skilled? Is he a skilled player? All right, well, hold it tight. Luka Doncic, we're going to go to my man Ted first. Ted, tell me, is he lucky or is he skilled, man?
Man, that boy is skilled. Luka got skills, man. Luka been playing professional over in where he's from, and European mm-hmm. League, man, since he was like 16, I would believe.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
He's been playing with men since he was 16. Luka ain't no joke. Okay, Luka for real.
Hey, Lou, come on in, Lou. Lou, tell me what you think.
No question about it. He's skilled. Don't look at basketball. It's all skill, man. He's got all the skills, all the right moves. No question.
So when it comes down to the MVP, are we looking at Luka as the MVP? Is that what you guys are saying?
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that.
He in the race.
Me, I'm not saying that because he still has to learn as far as NBA come over here, but he makes Luka makes a lot of mistakes too, though. You know, I gotta see if what he does. He's in the race, like you say, Lady T. He's in the race, but he's not my MVP.
Right.
because he makes at sometimes crucial bad decisions, man, where he's trying to shoot that three, man, and step back. He does try to do too much and not do the right thing, you know, make bad poor decisions. So he's not my MVP on that. So, but he's a head coach.
Well, I'm hearing they're comparing him and what's the young boy name, man? The Pelicans.
Zion.
Yeah, they're comparing him and
Zion.
Zion. Yeah, as the MVP of the league right now.
But you better put Joker. They also talking about Joker. Yeah, he hasn't missed a game neither, man. And Denver is also in that playoff race, so they also consider Joker heavily now because he, like I say, he has not missed a game, and his team is on top, in the race. So you gotta consider Joker. That's my MVP. Is the Joker,
okay,
man. The boy? He's something nice too. He's 7 foot, and he also can bring the ball up. He ain't bringing it up all fancy like Durant and stuff, but Joker can bring it up and make that pass and shoot that three, too. And you talk about a pass? Man, who? Yes, sir.
They got, right now, the top five candidates is the Joker, Harden, Antetokounmpo, and Kawhi Leonard and Kyrie Irving.
You know, and I think Antetokounmpo, it's with me, it's like they're forcing him into it. You know, because you look at his work and it's not really like he's doing anything unexpected. You know what I mean? And he's not doing anything amazing or jaw dropping to us, you know. And it's like, what's the big deal about what he's doing? You know what I'm saying?
It ain't no big deal of what he's doing, but what I think, what I like him doing is he's a big man that plays down in the post, so a lot of his points come in the paint. So that's what I like about him. Like, he is a three-point shooter. Like, he will shoot that three-pointer, but he don't take that many of the three-point shots. All his shots are coming through the paint, you know, fast breaks, dunks. Everything is in the paint, which I love, because that's what a big man supposed to
what?
Do, in the paint.
I think that is what it is for me. I have such a disdain, a hate for big men shooting the three that even though he doesn't shoot it as much as let's say Embiid does, you know, but the fact that he does shoot it, it disturbs me. It bothers me because it's like, so you know what? They all wearing skinny jeans right now. DMVK or not.
That don't mean you're supposed to do it. That's right. I'm with you.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Who cares?
I'm with you. But what I'm saying is sometimes you can get, I mean, you got to learn how to shoot it, because you're going to get beat most of the time because they're not going to come down into the paint. So you got to, you know what I'm saying? You gotta learn how to do both, but do what you do best. And if it's open, take it. But if you don't, you know what I'm saying? You gotta learn how to do both.
Let's look at it from this aspect, okay? You are the big man. You're the center, okay?
Fact.
You shoot that three pointer and don't make it. You don't make it. Now you're putting your team at a disadvantage because the other team is more than likely going to grab the rebound. So you're putting your team at a disadvantage by playing your skill position out of the manner in which it is designed to be played. You know, I'm looking at pardon the interruption right now, and they're showing Kareem. You know, and happy 74th birthday, Kareem. We got to send that shout out.
Wow. Yeah,
but Kareem was a center that I love. Shaq,
yeah.
A center that I love. These guys knew their position. You wouldn't catch Shaq out
yes,
on the
did.
Perimeter. You wouldn't catch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar out on the center. I mean, out on the perimeter going for threes. You just wouldn't see that, you know. And okay, it I understand, you know, the game has changed. It's not the same anymore, you know, all of those cliches. I can understand that. But as a big man, there's a position that a big man is supposed to play. There's a place that a big man is supposed to be. And now watching these big men so-called playing center is devastating to me. It's devastating to me because these guys are just completely out of position. And it would be one thing if, like you said, Treece, they found themselves open and able to make that shot. They're looking for that shot first.
Right.
They're looking for the three-point shot first. They're not going into the paint.
They're stepping back. Some of them stepping
exactly.
back to the three-point. That's what
exactly.
me over.
Exactly.
Like, go down in the paint, dunk on somebody, get a foul. Come on, what are we doing? Get down in the paint. I mean, that's where, the big man supposed to be in the paint. I'm a little person, so when I played basketball, I was not allowed to be down there, but never even wanted to be down there because I couldn't shoot. So
yeah.
I knew my position and knew where I had to be. So I don't want the big man to be in my position and where I'm supposed to be at. If you up here, where I'm supposed to be at? I'm not going down in the paint. Don't expect for me to go down there. I'm too little.
Right.
So,
Indeed.
I mean, let's just get back to regular basketball. I mean, like, all this evolving. I mean, I understand we can evolve. We all should evolve. But let the people on the perimeter evolve. Big men, stay down in the side and learn how to dunk 17 other different ways. Do that.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying about as far as B. My assessment on a B, like I said, he's not my MVP because he's not, you can't go to him in that crunch time in the fourth quarter, you know, because he cannot, if he gets fouled, he cannot make a free throw. You can't just
right.
him to make a free throw, okay? He can shoot the three, but he can't really shoot it that good. That's why he don't take that much, because if you really look at him, man, when he pulls his shoot, his jumper, he pulls it short. And when the game is on the line, crucial games, man, in fourth quarters, when it's tight games, He's not coming through. He's not that guy yet. He's not developed that yet. And so I don't see how they gave him that MVP last year. You know, like you said, what amazes him how he dunks and stuff and his character. He's not a bad kid and stuff. He comes from Greece and foreign, you know, that country and stuff. And you know, so they like the kid, you know, and stuff. And what have you. So, but he come through fancy dunking and all that stuff on people and all that. But when the playoffs come, that's going to stop. But with this, you know, with this new basketball, how it is, it just kills me how they not playing defense, because in the 90s, he wouldn't be able to do that, especially in the 80s. He wouldn't be able to come through like that. But it is what it is now. Like you say, some, you know, big men, they shooting it like that because the game has evolved, you know. But he's not a center, so he does allow to go. He plays multiple
right.
positions. You know, he's that hybrid player.
Yeah, I'm about
player.
To say,
you know, so they got Lopez as their center, but Lopez, he shoots the three out, so, and he kills me. I'm like, get down low, man. You know,
right.
Get down low.
Get your little jump hook together.
Exactly. Left jump hook, right jump hook. Jump hook.
Right.
I don't see why nobody has developed a Kareem Sky hook. You know, give me a
okay.
right hook, man. I used to kill him, and I'm not enough, but I was 6'1". You know, 6'1" and a half, I used to say.
You
say
you was?
I might have hit 6'2", but I played like I was 6'7", okay? So, because I've always played the center, because I was tall coming up in grade school. So I was played down low. So now, therefore, I develop a jump hook, right hand, left hand, and then I used to work on my running sky hook. And I get inside that free throw line, I'm hooking it on you. Boom. You can't get that. That's an impossible shot to block. Okay? So that's why Kareem is the all-time best scoring center to me, man. He can shoot it. He had range with his shot. He shoot a 25-footer, 20-footer sky hook on you from the corner. You know?
Mm-hmm.
All day.
Mm-hmm.
All day.
It seems like Lopez is trying his best to be Kareem too, man, because I swear every time they give him the ball now, he's shooting a hook shot, man, everywhere,
hey,
man.
Y'all can say what y'all want. 80% of the time it's going there. 80% of the time it's going there. He trying to perfect that thing.
He made it.
80% of the time, that thing going in.
Hey, look.
Right.
Hey, look.
Hey, Tay.
563-999-3782. Lopez say, this for my man Lopez. Lopez say, y'all don't know who he be, man. 563-999-3782. We'll be right back. When we come back, it's NFL time, baby. Yeah. Rest in peace, baby. Rest in peace, DMX.
Yes, rest in peace.
The one that put him in me. Hey. I felt that man's spirit just then.
Okay.
Listen to him. Listen to what his
mercy.
Words, man.
He's going
don't
through anything.
That man
turn
acting.
On one of his albums.
Yeah.
Listen to his words.
Yeah.
Hmm.
DMX used to choke the brother up, man.
Yes, sir.
The Patriots have totally neglected the Patriots way and spend nearly $160 million in guarantees this offseason. $160 million. Can y'all believe that? The Patriots? Now, Washington has never spent anywhere near this amount of money in free agency. And we still got the draft coming up in 2 weeks, you know. It's amazing to me, and I brought this point up before, but it's amazing to me now that Belichick is doing this. Oh, this is the way you're supposed to do it. It's nothing wrong with garnishing free agents. You know, everybody sees it as the thing to do. But when Washington did this, it was shunned upon. It was poo-pooed upon, you know. Why is it now all of a sudden free agency is the route, is the way to go? What am I missing here?
You're supposed to try to get the most for your money, the least for money, the most for the least is what I've always, you know, believed in. And if that's free agency, then I'm going free agency. If it's the draft, then I'm going to draft. But I'll try my hand at free agency first just to see what's out there, and then I'm going to the draft. But, yeah, you're right. Y'all shouldn't have been shunned upon, but you definitely were shunned upon when this happened.
You remember?
But I don't know. Yeah, but I don't remember the exact details of what happened, but I do remember they talking about y'all being, why would y'all do that, and, you know, a whole bunch of other adjectives.
Ted, what say you, Ted?
Well, because y'all got shunned upon because they don't like Snyder, man. You know, it's got something to do with them not liking your own.
I knew it. That's...
I'm not. It's not nothing against y'all. I'm just saying people review it. It's nothing against y'all. You know, but it's how, you know, other teams. It's jealousy. People, like you say, they be hating on your team on that. You know, I told you I respect y'all, but I be just giving you the business because, you know, this is opposition. You know what I'm saying? But hey, y'all got a big organization, man. The dude has, you know, made the moves and stuff, like you say, and did what he needed to do. He's like a Jerry Jones, man. And he played by his own rules, and people not, because he's not from America, and I don't want to, because I don't know who's on this phone, and I don't want to seem that I'm racist, because I have white people in my family, but because he's not white like Jerry Jones, you know, they give him flack.
Right,
you know,
right.
My opinion on that, you know, But he doesn't play by nobody's rules. He's gonna do what he's gonna do. He's a billionaire, you know. And like you say, now it's the fashion now. You know, it's what every team is doing now and stuff. So, you're right about that, man. They gave y'all a business. Like as far as y'all have to change your name, so he was, you know, stubborn about that. So, but. Like I say, you know what we talked about as far as on that, you know. So, but that's a whole other thing. But that's it.
Now that you said that, I can agree. I can agree, man. It's because the team. The organization itself has done nothing to deserve the hate that it gets. I mean, we've done nothing that no other team has done to deserve the hate that we receive. But, you know, it's Dan Snyder, you know, and I sort of kind of am with Dan Snyder, you know, this is my damn team. You don't tell me what to do with him. It's just like me buying a pair of shoes and you say, oh, no, those ain't Nikes, you know.
No, they're not
Nikes now. Yeah, you gotta call them psyches or they not real because we say they not real. Right. Well, why in the hell is what makes you the authority figure on ooh. Do you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Or is it just me? Okay.
No, I hear.
But okay, I don't know what the heck that is, but what makes you the authority figure? And you know, you can't tell me how. Exactly. You know, it's like Ted said, man. It's Dan Snyder that they don't like. It's Dan Snyder that they have the problem with, and it's Dan Snyder that they just, no matter which way he goes. And I think even if Washington was to win a Super Bowl, the masses would still find a way to say that we're wrong at something or we did something wrong. I mean, it's just me. It's just me. Right. We're going to bring my man 57. What's up, 57?
Hey, 57.
What's up? I'm your Huckleberry, baby.
I know you, man.
We'll never know because Washington ain't going to win no Super Bowl. Not just like that.
Okay.
So, y'all
that's cool. That's good. You know, that means coming from
y'all
a lot. That means a lot coming from a man who was stopped 11-0. Well, go ahead.
Hey, that's your claim. Look. That's your claim to fame right there. We stopped the first Steelers who was
11-0.
Hey,
dog,
that's history. That's history. I'm just merely speaking facts. That's all. I'm just merely speaking facts, bro. You know, what Puffy say? Take that.
I miss half of the show, but I can tell at least 15 minutes of it's been about the Washington football team. You know,
it has not. We were actually talking about Belichick and how now all of a sudden paying $160 million for free agents is the way to go, you know. And I was talking about when Washington didn't even spend as near as that much on free agents. We were told that that was wrong. That wasn't the way to go. That's not how you build a team. All of that. Yeah.
So did Belichick have his press conference today?
I'm not sure. Did he?
He was supposed to have one today to discuss, which I doubt, to discuss what they were planning on doing. It's amazing to me how everybody just sold Cam Newton down the river. Already, even the guys on ESPN, I was listening to them this morning. Basically they're saying that the Patriots can't win with Cam Newton. Well, you got to put people around him that can block for him.
Cam,
him to step back 3 seconds and throw the ball at least.
Let me say this, man. Cam is in a Hyde Park kicking contest with his leg tied behind his back. And I say that because you're following Tom Brady. And it didn't help that Tom went down to Tampa Bay and won a Super Bowl and you guys didn't even make the playoff.
Oh, man.
It didn't help that your record was what it was, wins and losses, and Tom's was what it was, wins and losses. So, I mean, Cam was really put in an awkward position. He was put in an awkward position because that team was not ready to win. It was not ready to win last season when Cam took over. And so they ran out there and changed the game all quick, got all these free agents, $160 million worth, and they're saying this will be the difference. This year will be the difference. But now, and I brought this topic up because I really want you guys to see what I'm seeing, the confusion that is New England. Because now they're talking about New England moving up in the draft. When have we ever seen New England move around in the draft? Never. We've seen New England gather up draft picks because other teams either took players from them or just traded with them altogether. We've never seen New England do the things that they are doing right now. And this tells me that it's all type of uncomfortableness. It's all type of confusion going on with New England. That's what this tells me. Because when you get to a point where you're thinking, I got to do this. Oh, this ain't enough. I got to do that. Oh, that ain't enough. I got to do, oh, man. We got to cover the bases here. We got to cover the bases there. When you start going frantic like that as a team, as an organization, then, I mean, hey, man, you know, the writing is on the wall. The writing is on the wall. And who can say anything bad, really, truly, about New England with the success that they've had as an organization? Let's be real.
Exactly.
Let's be real.
If I could say this right here, you look at New England for the last 20 years that Tom Brady was there, they had a great offensive line. All they had to do every year was just change some pieces, add some pieces, and they was in the Super Bowl. And then you let Tom Brady go down to Tampa Bay, and the owner and the coach lets him basically – put the team together the way he wants to put it together. Think about it. In Green Bay, we having all the problems with, I mean, Green Bay having problems with Aaron Rodgers. If they would allow Aaron Rodgers to get the players that he needs, Green Bay might be in the Super Bowl, you know, but that's not happening now with a lot of teams. And I keep hearing this, you know, we need to do this, we need to do that. Yeah, New England's in trouble this year, and that's why they're doing the things that they're doing.
Well, you brought up Aaron Rodgers. Is Aaron Rodgers willing to do what Tom Brady did? Because Tom Brady has taken pay cuts. He has taken the shorter end. You know what I mean? Tom Brady sacrificed for those rings in New England. You know, he sacrificed money. Now, again, we got to remember, Tom's wife makes billions, so he's kind of okay with not getting all his money right then and there. But a lot of I hear people say, you know, well, this team hasn't done this and this team hasn't done that. Well, a lot of it is on the fact that these top high dollar quarterbacks aren't willing to make the sacrifice that Brady is. Let's bring in my man Marcus. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Marcus.
What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
What's happening with you?
All right.
We're talking about how all of a sudden, you know, free agency is okay. It's okay to spend $160 million in guarantees on the free agent market. You know, but when Washington did it, And Ted broke it down. Ted, my brother, he broke it down to us. It's Dan Snyder. They hate Dan. So whatever Dan does is going to seem, or they're going to make it like it's wrong. It's not the right thing to do. So that's why it was so easy for Bezos. That's why it was so easy for Bezos to throw all type of dirt on the organization, because everybody hates Dan Snyder anyway. But, you know, and it led to, the conversation led us to, you know, Tom Brady. and the fact that he was in a position where he could deny a big contract or big signing bonus so that, that other players could be signed, you know, and, right. and everybody's not willing to do that, Aaron Rodgers. You know, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees. Well, Brees is gone now, so, you know, it's just a matter of what exactly New Orleans is going to do. But everybody's not willing to do that. Let's just leave it there.
Right. Right.
So, you know, you can say that you want a good team. You can say you want Super Bowl championship. You know, but what really, you know, when it all boils down, what really are you after? I mean, you already got money. You know what I mean? He's already solidified yourself in that position. What else are you seeking? What else are you searching for? So. You know, a sacrifice is an action. It is an action. It's not just words that you say. It is an action. So, you know, until these guys put that action to their words, this is what it's going to be. You know, this is what it's going to be. So, you know, And I am of the mindset that Brady needed Belichick as much as Belichick needed Brady. It pees me off. It pees me off to hear that argument. You know, if it wasn't for Brady, Belichick, listen. Those two guys were the perfect storm that met at the perfect time and perfect opportunity. Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not going to get... Say what?
He got that perfect fit with Bruce Arians, too.
Yep.
Yeah, but no way is that going to last as long. As it has with Belichick. I'm sorry. It, just for the fact that Tom is older. And
right.
you know, that thing is going to die out. So, you know, enjoy it now is all I'm going to say. Is all I'm going to say.
That's
now,
cool.
I want to switch gears. I want to switch gears real quick. Have you guys heard the comments from Trevor Lawrence, Clemson quarterback, the number one prospect in this year's quarterback class? Did you hear the comments that he made?
I saw it this morning.
Marcus, did you hear that, Marcus?
No, I haven't heard it.
Okay. 57, enlighten us, 57. What exactly did he say?
He basically was talking about, I saw it this morning, but he was basically talking about he's not going out there with a chip on his shoulder with something to prove. He's not hungry to prove that he's the best out there or they should have, you know, been picked, not picked higher, but, you know, he should have been. I can't remember everything, but it was basically he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder, and he don't feel like he has anything to prove. You know, it was something similar to that.
And this one line that didn't set right with me at all. When asked about football and his commitment, and he said how he could walk away at any moment. He could walk away, leave the game, leave the sport, and move on to whatever else, and it wouldn't bother him.
Yeah.
Now,
to me, that was stupid. I'm going to just say,
okay.
To me, that was stupid because if you're not committed to the game, what did you come into it for?
Right.
You know?
Right.
If you're not committed to coming out here and giving it everything you got, like you say, even taking pay cuts, that tells you right there, this dude is not in it for the good of the team. He's in it for himself, only for himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He says, I want people to know I'm passionate about what I do, and it's mm-hmm. really important to me, but I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder that everyone's out to get me, and I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. There's nothing wrong with that statement. I'm not mad about that statement. Do I want my quarterback to have a chip on? Yes. Yes, I do. I want him to have a huge chip on his shoulder, you know, and those words just say, I don't know. It questions his drive. It questions his why. You know, it was the chip on Brady's shoulder that has made him a 7-time Super Bowl champion. It was the chip on Drew Brees. It was the chip on Drew Brees' shoulder. What was the team Drew Brees, the Chargers? When the Chargers just threw him out in the street and let him go to New Orleans, it was a chip on his shoulder that drove him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was the chip on Aaron Rodgers' shoulder where he had to sit for 4 years behind Brett Favre before he was given an opportunity. Now,
because he wanted to be picked for the 49ers, too. That's another chip.
Yeah.
For Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, Trevor Lawrence, we know he has all the intangibles. We know that he can make every throw. We know that he's a good leader on the field. But to say you don't have this chip on your shoulder, because I've seen so much from him, I'm still going to draft him number one because everything that I've seen says he is the number one prospect. So he's still going to be drafted number one. But now I have more, I'm a little more leery now than I was before after this statement, you know, and it leads me to ask the question, was it just a nerve type situation that made him come out and say that or
it might
am I to take it?
Yeah.
Okay.
A microphone in front of a 21-year-old and ask him a question like that, you know, the guy hasn't played the first down yet in the NFL.
And he really trying to not fall into a depression because it's easy to fall into a depression because having that much expectation is unhealthy. It really is because he can be thinking about that so much he has a heart attack.
Man. I mean,
You know, Kale.
Go ahead.
We talked about this before, man. Like, these are kids, man. You know, these are kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you expect them to get in front of the mic, expect them to say everything perfect, do everything perfect in your personal life. You know, and that's what. And it's really hard to do that when you're dealing with young kids who have kind of like had, you know, kind of been spoiled, especially when they can ball. When they ball out, they've been spoiled, you know, and him contradicting himself in that statement that he made, where he said, you know, him falling in the draft, or that kind of does show a chip on the shoulder. His second response saying he could just walk away at any time, that kind of, to me, you saying that because you are upset, You know what I'm saying? You don't like how you've been treated because you feel like you're the best. You know what I'm saying? So it just sounds like a kid running his mouth, you know?
Yeah.
But like you said, that kid can bowl. You know, that kid can bowl. I'm more leery when Dwayne Haskins would have said that coming out, you know, or somebody to that effect. I'm more leery. But this kid saying it, I'm not worried one bit because that boy is an animal.
And another thing too, Mark, he didn't play the last three games of the season, but he's still been number one ever since the college football. This guy's been number one before the combine.
And he was hurt. Yeah, he was hurt. Yeah, he got hurt.
Because, I mean, his IQ is crazy. You know, his IQ is crazy. And honestly, man, I really believe that, you know, a little more should be done when it comes to these kids in these positions. Like you said, because mentally that's a lot of pressure to deal with that from the time they are in college and playing to that level, and then thinking about the draft coming out, not having all of the not having all the wherewithal to say the right thing or do the right thing. I think there's some real attention should be shown to that.
Well, they do.
Yeah.
They do, Marcus. They do. They have classes for that. They have to attend that are mandatory for them to attend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, sometimes they come in, they pay attention. You know, they're young kids. They pay attention. Some of them do, some of them don't. They're on their phone, they, you know, fall asleep, whatever. But they do have those kind of mandated classes for them when they you know, during that transition. They have to take those mandated classes, how to spend your money, how to put your money in discount. They got all those classes for them. They really do.
I know about the classes, but what I meant, the attention, I mean real attention, I mean accountability. I mean as far as, like, you know, you're accountable for a lot of the things as far as what your manager tells you to do. You know what I mean? But aside from that, you don't have somebody assigned to you, an accountable somebody assigned to these players. And it's not just in football, it's in basketball too. We're talking like all these young kids that's kind of going into adulthood, making this transition. I know it's off the topic, but it's something that needs to be addressed. You know?
Yeah, that's a program that should. I mean, that's already implemented. It's. Those, I mean, some of these young kids just don't want to be a part of it. Like the mentorship, this and the other, they hold their hands while they, a lot of them don't want to be a part of it for whatever reason, we don't know. But those kind of programs are out there, and they do have mentorship. They got a lot of that stuff out there for them that's available. And some of them are mandatory, actually.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It needs to be mandatory.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what Marcus is saying. You know, you need to have a PR guy beside you all the time when you're getting ready to step in front of the microphone to tell you, don't say this, don't say that. You know,
I totally agree with you guys because I watched the Anthony Edwards interview, and he was, man, you know, already the hair is napping. He's playing with his hair. It was asking about the young boy who played with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm.
And it was asking him about Alex Rodriguez, about being his, you know, being the owner and stuff. He said, well, you know, he know he's the owner, but he don't know who he is. He don't follow baseball, nothing like that. So, like you say, this your posture, your demeanor. He was picking at his hair with his hands, you know, with both of his hands picking in his hair and stuff. And then he cursing and stuff, you know. I'm like, wow, you know. Like you say, they don't have proper demeanor.
Mentor.
Edification on etiquette, you know, on how they should speak and stuff in a public surrounding.
Well, actually, their senior year, they do have classes on mentoring and people that are tutoring them. But these guys, these guys, one thing you all are missing, these are young men that are nervous. Playing with his hair, that's a sign of you being nervous. When you're feeling, go ahead.
That is true. I agree in the sense that's a sign that could be a sign of nervous, but that also could be a sign like they do have these class set up for them. But a lot of them ain't paying attention. This is a hip hop era, a different hip hop era. This is a different hip hop era than we grew up of these young kids now, man. Of the music they listen to, or the videos they see, and all that, and what they streaming in this internet thing. For you not to know nothing about baseball, because he grew up playing baseball. They say he was a good baseball player, but for you not to know. Pardon me.
No, I'm saying you're right. He is a good baseball player. He could have played baseball instead of football.
Right and stuff. He playing basketball. And so, but he, like you said, the comment he was saying that he has been a baseball player. But for him not to, know about current things going on now, is like I said, this tells how they're in tune to just this internet light and what have you, and the music and in their culture with the baggy pants, saggy pants, underwear showing and stuff, and the nappy hair. It's just not proper grammar or nothing like that. So a lot of them don't pay attention to that. They just yarn at that, man. They go to them classes, we got to go to this. They just sitting there chewing gum, partly on their phones and what have you. They ain't finna make them, you better do this and be strict on them, because these young kids, they finna be millionaires. So they don't give a care. It's 1 year in college and out. Now they ain't even got to go to college. So...
NFL has to go to college. The NBA are the ones that don't have to go to college.
I missed what y'all was saying about Trevor Lawrence, and I don't know what he said as far as his comment, but you mentioned as far as, they having these classes and not, they need PR people to be around them and tell them how to speak in proper manner, how to, hold your body and what have you, and what language and stuff to use and stuff, and a lot of them need that around them. So I just, touched on what I know about Anthony Edwards and stuff like that. Like you said, these young kids not doing that now. But like you say, Lady T, they do have these things set up for these young kids, that are young kids that's going to go into adulthood, that's going to make a lot of money. It's going to have followers behind them and this and that. So they got to make proper decisions and stuff. And like I say, also, they're going to have this mic that's in their face, and you got to say the proper things. So no one should get a pass, no matter what color you are, whatever. But I don't know what, like I said, I don't know what Trevor Lawrence said, but he should have been correct. He should have, and if he wasn't correct, it should be addressed.
Well, he really, for real, It was wrong for him to say that, but he hurt his own stock by saying that,
What did he say?
He said that he's not coming in with a chip on his shoulder, and that he could walk away from football and be fine. And a lot of people took bad to that. Dude, you getting ready to make Uber, buku money for playing a game, and you're telling people that the one thing they love to see the most, we love to see a quarterback, a cornerback, a safety, a linebacker, a running back play with a chip on their shoulder. We love to see that. Matter of fact, think about it. The boy that plays for Denver Broncos plays linebacker, the glasses. What is his name?
I can't think of his name. I know you're talking about Vimp.
But
I can't think of it then, but I can see it. I can see
it. I can see him right in my face. Yes.
Yeah.
But it, during that Super Bowl, when they played against Cam Newton, it was his drive. It was his chip on his shoulder that we admired the most. Why can I say that? The offense wasn't
Von Miller.
With Von Miller. The offense was kind of null and void. You know, we didn't see a whole lot of offense in that game.
That's
Von
fact.
Miller disturbed things. Why?
They
because he played with
a
chip.
Game.
Well, he didn't
have a great game in that Super Bowl. Von Miller basically controlled that Super Bowl on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
He did. He made the plays. He made the turnovers and all that.
Why?
But I can say,
and why?
Travis Lawrence's defense. Okay, you got to look at where he comes from. You got to look at his career. He's been number one in everything. He's from a freshman. He's been in the championship, you know, with Clemson, man. It's like he doesn't have to have a chip because he's been that guy, you know. He hasn't have to struggle, you know. So it's like he's the Tom Brady of college basketball, you know. He's got the long
pretty
hair. College football, sorry. Pardon me. He got the long pretty hair, you know what I'm saying? Locks and stuff, golden hair, the golden beach boy, you know, and stuff. And
okay.
Hey, man, hey, he doesn't have a care in the world. His world is great, you know?
Yep.
He might go back to school to get a degree. I don't know if he has a degree now.
Let me inject this real quick.
You say
his life is great. Everything is the way he wanted to be. His life is great. You know, there are no complaints on his from his camp, from himself, he himself. But what about, and we all know how that other shoe has a tendency to fall. What about when that other shoe falls, man? Who is he going to be then? How is he going to play then? Will his team be able to depend on him? He'll be the leader. He's the leader of the team. Will they be able to depend on him? Will they be able to draw strength from him?
Yeah, I don't think you have to have a chip on your shoulder. The chip on your shoulder comes from when, like you say, when you've been denying things and you know that you're good. Because like Aaron Rodgers had to sit behind Brett Favre, you know, like the Denver guy we just mentioned.
Well,
I'm
going to say is adversity makes champions. Adversity makes champions. Look at Mike. Look how determined Mike became. Look at the chip that was on Mike's shoulder when he was going against Detroit, when he had to go against the Celtics, when he had to go against everybody. Adversity breeds champions, man. Go ahead.
Cut off his high school basketball team. That made him a much better player. And I wanted to say something about Tom Brady since Marcus brought him up again. People forget that Tom Brady had to sit behind Drew Bledsoe. If Drew Bledsoe hadn't gotten hurt, Tom Brady wouldn't have made it into the game. And it was all history after that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So he had a reason, right? Exactly. He had a reason to have a chip. But that doesn't mean that he won't have the drive, you know what I'm saying, that he won't ball out and stuff. That doesn't mean that. You know, I understand what you're saying, Kel. I'm not saying I don't agree with, you know, having a chip. You need to have that edge, you know. Some people need to have that drive to have that, but some people don't need to have that just to do what they need to do, you know. It just depends on what team he gets under and how – the coaches developing him to come to the pro games and stuff, and he just has to ball out, man. That's all. You don't have to be
like
that.
We're
going to see,
though. We're going to see.
And let's not forget, let's not forget one important factor. He's going to the sorriest team last year.
But they got a new coach. They got a new coach, and the coach is familiar with him, so he got a head start. He got a head start.
Yeah, but we've seen coaches come from the college game. We've seen coaches come from the college game. Nick Saban. Nick Saban, one of the best.
I mean, championship.
Yeah, yeah, and Pete Carroll is he's not the norm. I'll put it that way. Pete Carroll is not the norm when it comes to coaches leaving college.
Okay. If I can interject here, don't forget that this Pete Carroll came to the pros, then went back to college and came back to the pros.
Came back, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So his
yeah.
first shot in the pros, he was a flop. He was a flop.
Mm.
Then he went back to college.
He had to regroup. He came back and won that thing.
That's right.
Steve Spurrier.
A flop.
Steve Spurrier. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Steve freaking Spurrier. Okay. Well, we just throw the ball around. We didn't have a good game today. No doo-doo. You didn't have a good game. We ain't had a good game. You've been there since, boy. Swing gate. That's all. Swing gate, y'all. Okay.
I can't with you.
I'm done.
I'm done.
Hey, okay. All I'm saying is I'm not saying Urban Meyer is going to be that coach or have that, you know, career here, but I'm just saying. A college coach coming into the pros, that doesn't necessarily give him a pass and he's going to be good. No, it doesn't. It does not at all. Matter of fact, I'm leaning more on the side of watch out now.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
I don't think they should play no college. I think everybody should sit on the bench for at least a couple of games and then get, I mean, you got to at least see how this thing faster than you think. It's way faster than college.
Yeah. Well, because everybody's a pro. You know?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain this concept to this guy the other day, and he was like, you know, when I was young, I was, you know, I could have been in the NBA, this and that and the third, and I was quick with my shot and this and that and the third. Dude, I was quick with my shot. I was I'm not going to say deadly, but I was dependable with that jumper, that 3-point and that 2-point. But it wasn't enough for me to be there. You know why? Because I was not fast as those guys. You understand? And football, people think, oh, it's just football. No. Everybody on that, man, even the damn water boy can run a 4.3. You know what I'm saying? What do you think he was, you know? So give them dudes their respect for where they are and who they are. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm basically trying to say. Let's give these guys their respect for who they are and where they are and know that, no, we're not going to be athletically able to we're not going to be athletically able to sustain, you know, what these guys are, you know, and what they're doing. They are athletes because of how they play. They are athletes because they are athletes. They were born with this ability, you know. So, you know, don't you know, belittle them. You know, say that, oh, I can do that. No, you can't. Or you would be there. You know? I mean, am I wrong?
I agree with you. You got a whole lot of quarterbacks and a whole lot of number one picks that only lasted in the NFL for 1 year or two because the game was a much faster or much stronger than it was in college. There's a lot of adjusting you got to do when you come to pros. not only for the game on the field, but you got to adjust to that life, too, that's going to come along with that.
Mm-hmm. And it is totally different. It is completely different, you know. Let's just think about it here, you know. A day in the life of an NFL player. You know, you got to work out, you know, and this is first thing in the morning. You got to eat your proper, get your proper nutrients and vitamins and all that in. Then you go work out. Then you have breakfast. Then you go work out again. Then you go watch film, study film. Then you go and work out the third time. And for a lot of athletes, that third time, that's not the last time that they work out. A lot of them work out after dinner as well. So, I mean, we're talking about four workouts in one day. And I'm not talking about no little 10-minute, 20-minute work. No. We're talking about hour-long workouts, you know, hour and a half, almost 2 hours in the weight room, dedicating themselves to building. That's a hard job.
I'm older than most of y'all, and I remember back in the day when football players, after the season was over with, they had part-time jobs, selling cars, working here, working there. The games have changed a whole lot since then.
Mm-hmm. I remember that time. I remember that time when you could possibly lose a player for your favorite team because he's sold so many automobiles that he think he'll never make the money in football that he's made as a salesman. I remember that time distinctively.
Well, 50 Cent, let me ask you how, 57, I'm sorry, I did call him 50 Cent this time, that was from you, Tree. 57, how old are you, bro? If you don't mind
I'm
me
64.
Asking.
Not at all, I'm proud of that. I'm 64,
hey,
man.
You. Hey, brother, bless you. Yeah, you
Thank
got me. I hope to be 57 this year, but bless you, brother. Hey, man, you sound good. You sound great, man.
64 and counting.
Hey.
Thank you for that.
That's a great number. I was born in the year 64, so that's a great number, brother.
Hey, man. It's only by the grace of God, bro. Only by the grace of God.
I'm gonna put my Cash App up here for y'all cause for my birthday. I'm not turning down nothing but my caller.
What's your birthday, too?
My birthday is Mother's Day, May 9th.
Oh, wow. Are you a mother?
I am. Three times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Should have made me an uncle.
Show you right.
An uncle from another mother.
We all be uncles because, like you say, Teddy love the kids. And I know Karen love the kids, you know. So
yeah,
we all about you. We're all about
the
most definitely. I was sitting back the other day, man, reminiscing. I rolled past a football field, and I was just reminiscing, man, on the days when I was Coach Mac, you know, and the kids running their drills and just a little nostalgic.
Listen, y'all, quietly speaking, I've been trying to get him to coach, get back into coaching. I've been trying to get him to get back into coaching. That's his calling also. And he just won't accept that, you know. And please, y'all, help me. Help me encourage Coach Mack because he is an excellent coach on that football field with them young kids. Okay?
Let's go,
he was making a difference with them kids. So I've been trying to get him to get back into coaching.
Okay.
And so please help me. Put that in his ear every day. Every time we have this broadcast, put that in his ear. Coach Mack.
Okay.
We need him.
We got
him. We need him. The kids need him. Coach
even
Mack.
Even if he's a Reds, I mean a Washington football team fan, he's a good
coach.
Hey, he that's my brother, man, from another mother.
I'm with you.
You know,
I knew that Bam 57 was going to say something.
Man, I love it. Love y'all, man. I'm out.
Love y'all too, bro.
Love y'all too.
And guess what? Y'all, we have reached another ending of
Yeah.
What do you know about that? Hey, Miss T, you go ahead, girl.
Well, you know what I always say, you guys. We love you guys today more than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. We're always here every Tuesday and Thursday from 5 to 7. Tell a friend to tell a friend and hug a friend while you're telling that friend, okay? So give anybody all the love they can, you know, endure. Just hug somebody. And we'll see you guys on Tuesday. Enjoy your weekend.
All right. 563-999-3782. Let's see who can hold that number through the weekend. We love you guys. And thank you guys,
yes,
man. Hey, listen. If it was not for you all, man, I tell you, I really appreciate y'all. I really appreciate everyone.
Yeah.
I appreciate all the comments, the call-in, the activity, the energy. You guys just don't know, man. You all bring, yes. You all bring energy to this show that's unmatched and unlike any other. So for that, I appreciate you. We love you guys. We want everyone be safe this weekend. And listen, man. Tell your kids, man. If they get pulled over, hey, man, be humble. Be humble.
Mm-hmm.
That is God. That's the message that I want to leave you all with. Be humble, man. You know, it all ain't worth it. It's not worth it, man. You know? So with that being said, I love you, Kiki Boo. I love you, Zuri. I love you, Reese Cup. And we all have a good weekend.
Yeah.
We will bury you. See how that attitude is unnecessary, dude. But you never carry two. Not even swery cute. You got these people fooled. They see you on the two. Whatever, try to do. They see you on the two.
Get bro, before we get set for. Say you wanna squash it, what you see? I'm talking to my guy. Keep out of three when I church out the church. Bad, do it.